you know, obviously with all the adversity, which we all understand, that we've all spoken about before, but even the contrast of weather, things of that nature, which forces players to, you know, focus on a task at hand for the day. You know, I thought the players did a nice job. Today, you know, it was a little bit different. Again, I want to reiterate that it's just different because it's what I feel comfortable doing. It's not right or wrong. I've always liked to go into the stadium, especially when you're playing at home. I think it gives a greater focus to be able to talk to the players about, hey, in a couple of days, you know, we're going to see the same plays, the same defenses, those things like that. You know, it creates a little bit of a comfort level for the players as far as like footing and things of that nature. I thought they did a great job of understanding that and really going out there today and you know, running around and trying to visualize, you know, making those types of plays when we play, which obviously will be the greatest challenge for us.
You and Mike Mularkey go way back.
Yes.
Right? I mean, what's that going to be like? And spoken with him this week? Or
no, I said before, I did the conference call with the Tennessee people, and I'm sure most of you may or may not know, you know, my father-in-law was a Hall of Fame coach at Middle Tennessee State forever, and you know, Mr. Wyatt, who used to work for the Tennessean, and a lot of people. So I know a lot of people there. So they were telling me if my father-in-law gave me any free advice, which made me feel good because they don't really know my father-in-law because he doesn't give anything free. so it was, and then it had gotten into my relationship with Mike, and you know, Mike and I were together. I was there for a cup of coffee, but he was a player there in Minnesota, and you know, obviously when you're a player and teammate, you know, you become friends and you gravitate to people that you know you feel you have things in common with. And Mike and I would say, you know, are friends from a standpoint of when I had gotten the job in Buffalo. Mike was the head coach in Buffalo at one time. Mike was one of the first calls I made, you know, just to get a feel, you know, for the people there. He was great. Mike and I first started this journey that took us into coaching together. Mike was working for 3M at the time. I was unemployed and homeless on the street. I like, you know, exaggerating my stories a little bit, in case you haven't figured that out. But no, we went down to the Senior Bowl together looking for jobs. So we didn't stay in the same room, but we kind of just stayed together at the practices and things of that nature. And just to show you how far Mike's always been ahead of me, Mike had gotten a job as a quality control coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and nothing against Cortland State, but I became, you know, an unpaid Division III tight end coach at Cortland State University. So, you know, I've had a long time to try to catch up to Mike. But in all honesty, I would have you know, with this situation being what it is, a tough situation, knowing that Mike had gone through it, you know, just a year ago, you know, he would have been someone that I called quite quickly to say how he handled it, you know, how were the players, and, you know, just trying to get some advice of some of the things that if he looked back, you know, how he would, you know, what he would have done differently maybe. You know, he would have been someone that I would have called. So obviously I didn't, you know, because we're playing this week. So, again, you know, another loss for me, you know, a resource. But, you know, again, I think when you get on that field, a lot of us are you know, friends that go against each other. Obviously, Coach O'Brien and I have gone against each other. We're obviously best friends. And but when you get out there, that's all out the window. You know, now when you're really close, like some of us, we set up parameters for, you know, ourselves and our wives, because they're all friends too, you know. So like I always used to tell Coach O'Brien, or I used to tell him the press conference, I used to tell him, you know, hey, listen, the only reason why we're friends is because I really like his wife. I don't really like him. You know what I'm saying? But Mike and I are not on that type of friendship. We don't see each other or vacation with each other, but I do have a great deal of respect. And I'll tell you, you know, the job that he has done there, they had asked me if I was surprised by that, and I'm really not. Mike is an excellent football coach. I would think that some people were probably here when Mike was here. He's a great person, a great husband. His kids are great. So I'm not surprised. They have a really good veteran staff. I think when you look at their staff, there's a lot of, I use the word pelts, you know what I'm saying, on the wall for them. I think the players, they have a young team. I think that they've responded well. And it'll be a great challenge for us, especially, you know, the last two times we played them, you know, obviously we've came up on the short end. They, you know, have a lot to play for, but like I told our players, make no mistake about it, we have a lot to play for. So I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, I think we always look forward to be able to compete and have an opportunity, knowing that, you know, we have two more left.
You brought up resources, a lot of injured players. How have you guys been able to manage that in the short week?
You know, I probably have a little different take on injuries, and maybe because of the coaches that I've played for or the coaches that I've worked for. I think it's something that you really can't get yourself involved with. I know the coaching cliche is always, you know, next man up type thing. But, you know, we're going to put, you know, players on the field that are healthy that are going to be able to help us win. And that's as simple as it is. And I think when you gravitate towards the woes me, oh, this one's hurt, oh, you know, Coach Hackett, I love him, but he's always like, dude, we're on a sixth guard. I said, no one really cares. Nobody really cares. You know, they don't. No one's going to feel sorry for you. You know, let's go. You know, hey, let's put someone in there. Let's look at it a different way. Hey, someone's going to have an opportunity. Someone's going to be able to go in there and show us what he has. And you know what? If he plays well, and then maybe he might become the starter. So I think from that standpoint, I think you got to switch it a little bit mentally in your mind, because injuries, unfortunately, are part of this game. So, you know, to dwell in it, to feel bad or feel sorry for yourself, the one thing about the NFL, which I always say is great, there is no one that ever really feels sorry for you. You know, there really isn't. You know, and I don't think that's just a competitive thing. It's not, you know, an empathy type of thing.
That said, with Kelvin Beach, he's been on the report a lot this year playing through the knee thing. How impressive has it been, and how well has he played with the tackle?
Well, I think it's interesting. It's very difficult to judge a player that's playing through pain. I would say that, because we don't condone having players put on the field that are playing through injury. I think there's a difference between that. So he, you know, he's going out there with quite a bit of pain, and we need to take him through the week to do a good job so he's able to withstand that and still play at a level, a winning level. We would never put anyone on that field that had an opportunity to either further injure himself or not play at a level that we all expect. So in saying that, you know, obviously you can see him being hampered by it at times. You know, I always tell him, I say, what quarter are you going to start limping and get me a little, you know, where I have to get somebody ready to go in there? But I think there is a point where you should recognize that. So I appreciate you bringing that up, because, you know, not only do we have Kelvin, but there are a lot of players that you see on the injury list during the week that are really working and really pushing. I think those are the things that, you know, people on the outside, you know, don't really see as much. I think people on the outside understand it. You know, my dad, he got paid by the day. So if he woke up and he was sick, and he said, well, he didn't have sick days. He wasn't going to get paid if he didn't show up. He had to go to work, or else myself and my mom, we wouldn't be able to eat. So I think people realize that. But the amount of work that gets put into getting your body ready, knowing that when you go on that field, you're going to feel a level of pain, is something that not just Kelvin, but a lot of players on our team as well as around the league go through.
You mentioned earlier, emphasizing that there's still something to play for here. Is it maybe a little bit easier to get that buy-in when the last game against Tennessee went as poorly as it did?
Well, I just said I think it's important, no matter, you know, obviously there are going to be players, some of the same players here next year. I think there's, you know, you hear coaches that stand up here and they talk about, you know, winning the division or owning the division, or, you know, you want to play well within your division. The one thing you don't want to do is have a team feel like, you know, they have your number, where it's always a little bit more of an uphill climb. So for us, you know, we have played Tennessee, you know, the last two times we played them, we haven't won. Well, you know, it's important for the organization, the players that are here, to make sure that we go out there and try to win this game, so that no one in our division ever thinks that, you know, oh, okay, here comes Jacksonville, or Jacksonville thinks, you know, we're going to have to play our best game to beat them because we haven't beaten them. You never want a team to think that, you know, we always have you. And that does that does happen from an attitude standpoint, not from the coaches, and you won't hear it in press conferences and things of that nature, but it's in the back of everyone's mind, especially when I was an assistant coach at the New York Jets and I was, you know, in Buffalo, and then obviously we had a team like New England who I have great respect for, you know, trying to get over that hump when you have a team like that in the division.
Do you think about your record moving forward? Obviously, if you're able to get these next two wins, you're 17-17 throughout your head coaching career in the NFL, but you're also getting the first win at EverBank in about a year. Do you ever think about how that could affect you moving forward?
No, I really don't. I mean, I am who I am. My record is what my record is. You know, I never felt like I had to stand up here and say, hey, in college I took over a poor team, or in the NFL I took over a poor team. You know, so therefore when you look at the record, you're going to see these numbers. I mean, people are going to use it, work it each way. Obviously, I'm going to spin it always the better way. but I understand that. I don't look at that, because you are who you are. If you try to be someone you're not, players see through that, media sees through that, everybody sees through that. You know, at the end of the day, you're a phony, you're never going to make it anyway. So, you know, I am who I am. I feel comfortable in doing things, really haven't changed a lot, and I'm going to do the best job I possibly can, because for me, it's the most important thing for me, and I had a discussion with the players about this. For me, it's the sport of football above anything else, and I know that's probably – something I shouldn't say. I should say, you know, the organization or the Shield, but for me it goes the sport of football, the Shield of the NFL, and the organization, the emblem that you have. Those are the three things that I feel are my responsibility to protect. And when I say that, it just means that everyone should be a pro. And I say that because for me, I grew up, I would have never gone to college. Never. Never would have gone to college. Education wasn't really pushed where I grew up. You know, you pretty much, once you finished high school, you took every civil service exam. You know, you were a policeman, a fireman, sanitation, whatever it may be, criminal. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different roads you can go. So for me, the sport of football taught me how to do things the right way, how to study, how to go to school. It taught me about character, integrity. It taught me just so much. Not to say that my parents weren't part of that. My grandmother pretty much raised me. Both my parents worked growing up. So for me, I owe the sport a lot. So when I look at wins and losses and what you should do and things like that, I feel that I represent all those three things, and that's more important to me than anything else.
Doug, a quick update on Hurns. Is he making progress with that hamstring?
I know he is working like heck. You know, and I think that any time you see where, you know, Dave and I had discussions about philosophy or anything, but I think when you haven't seen a player go on, you know, injury reserve at this time of year, you know, there's always a chance for that player coming back, and he's working his tail off. And personally, I've always seen Allen do that. You know, and I see him now really working to get back. And you see, you know, the expression on his face when he's watching his teammates go out there. You know, he wants to be out there with them. And that means a great deal to people in the organization, but more importantly, his teammates.